We're on Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. Reb Eliezer, right? Reb Eliezer. So it's Pirkei Avos. Reb Eliezer ish Bartuta. Reb Eliezer, a man from Bartuta. Bartuta is a place. Omer says, Tein lo mishalo. Give to Kodesh Baruch Hu, give to him, to Kodesh Baruch Hu, mishalo, that which is his. Oh. Okay, that's simple. Give me what's mine, right?
Is this word related to lending?
Mer shelo, no, malva, that malva. Mer is from shell, that's shelo.
From his.
Yeah, that which is his. Sha'ata v'shulcha shelo. You, and that which is yours, is his. So basically, giving of that which you own and your goof, you yourself, to Kodesh Baruch Hu is just giving what he has back to him. So, Pasha, you have to give yourself to him, right? Simple. Now we're bringing from David. The Ken B'David, Hu Omer, says, Ki Mimcha Hakol, from you is everything, Umiyadecha, and from your hand, Netanu Lach. And from your hand, you gave it to us. I.e., David HaMelech lived on this darga. I mean, this is a darga. This isn't simple. Do we normally think, oh, I have to give to Kodesh Baruch Hu because I want to be a tzaddik, because I want to be a chassid. Oh, I have to give to Kodesh Baruch Hu because it's poshut. It all belongs to him. That's not an easy darga to live on. That you mevatel yourself to the extent that all that you are and all that you own, you live with that concept that they belong to him. Right?
This lach is to us?
To you, to you.
Oh, to you. Yeah.
We gave to you. Netano lach. He gave it to you. He gave it to you. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, okay, this is a new thing. It's in the same Mishnah. Okay, we'll just read this. We'll do the first bit first. Omer, Hamahalech, someone who goes, B'derech, in the way, V'shone, and he's learning, U'mafsik Mishnato, Mimishnato, and he interrupts that which he's learned. V'omer, and he says, Ma na'e ilanze, how nice is this tree? Ma na'e nirze, how nice is this field, this plowed field? Ma leharav hakatuv. The apostle looks at it, ki ilu mitchayev benafsho, as if he's obligated in himself. He's like a death penalty. Chas v'shalom. It's chomo. It's a chomo inyan. Now I don't know what these two missions have to do with each other, right? But obviously they're brought together in the same mission. That means they do have to do with each other. Now, simply speaking, maybe if a person comes to that recognition, right? And it's a very hard recognition. I mean, David HaMelech came to that recognition. It's not a simple recognition that a person can come to. That which he owns is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That which he is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's a very high darga to live on. To live with that understanding. You're writing now. You're thinking now. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you the koach to do that. I mean, none of us really feel on that level a nullification of self. We feel we're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? We're eating, we're sleeping, we're learning, we're doing. I'm successful.
Yeah, I think you see this concept almost by eating. We're saying everything that comes into your hand is Hashem. When we say the bracha, that's when we recognize it. But after that point,
yeah, after that, you forget it. Yeah. The beginning of the schnitzel, it's okay. But you finally finished the schnitzel. Yeah, you forgot about Hashem already, right? You're so into the schnitzel, right? It's a darga. It's a darga. It's a level. But it's a funny way of thinking about it. The concept is, and this is David HaMelech, remember, David HaMelech represents Malchus, represents kingship. Malchus, right, is it batlus. That's what Malchus is. Malchus for Klal Yisrael is nullification of self to our Creator. The nullification that required Kaniret for a Melech, for Malchus, is that level of I'm just an extension of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Me, myself, all that I earn is Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you don't have much, you know, yeah, you can understand we need a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you have, and a king has, David HaMelech had, he had. Shlomo HaMelech had. And it's battles when you have, or when you are something, that's a much stronger battles, much stronger nullification of yourself. When you don't have a new mitvata, you nullify yourself, that's easier. When you have, and you nullify yourself, and you recognize that it all comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's very easy to forget a Kodesh Baruch Hu when you have. It's much harder to forget it when you don't have, because you're dependent on Him. So we're talking about a matzav when a person has to have that recognition. What you have in yourself and in your properties is His. And what's this related to when you're learning and you're in the way? You're not learning in the Beis HaMedrash. You're in the way. You're wandering around. You're going in the streets. You're looking out for things, and you see a beautiful tree and say, "Wow, isn't that a beautiful tree?" What do you think is a beautiful tree? What, because you're interested in trees? You happen to be interested in trees. You happen to be a botanist. What are you saying? You say, wow, look at the beautiful creation that Kodesh Baruch Hu created. Even when you say that, klapei learning, that's not a nullification of self. If we lived, right, with that concept of nullification of self, what is nullification of self? That our whole rotzen, our whole thinking is rotzen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means, when we're learning, what are we learning? We're learning rotzen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will itself. I'm taking away from learning about that will and looking at a tree. That's not a nullification of self. There's a certain enjoyment, a certain part of me recognizing the world rather than being battled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than me nullifying myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Is this even without having concept this is Hashem's creation?
Even with having the concept, even if I'm in the middle of a sugya, middle of a tosfos, and I'm really into it, and I'm thinking about it, and I pass on the way, and I look, I'm not saying this is our Dauga, I'm not saying this is our Levin, I see something beautiful, say, wow, isn't this an amazing creation? See the beauty in the world? Klapei Torah, there's not an etbatlus. Learning is more of an etbatlus of self. Learning and understanding God's will is more of a nullification of self than it is to see a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the creation. Because there's certain creativity, I'm not saying it's not an important thing, but seeing a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Torah itself, through learning the Torah, is a higher nullification of self. That's what it would seem if we're learning these Mishnahs together. It's much higher nullification of self than it is when I'm recognizing Kodesh Baruch Hu in the creation. Because if it wasn't, say it was a much higher level. So what's the problem if I'm learning that to look at a tree and say, Mana e ilanze? I'm not looking at a tree and thinking, oh, it's a lovely tree, you know, a botanist. So I found a special species that I've been looking for many years. No, Mana e ilanze, I'm saying it's a beautiful tree that Kodesh Baruch Hu created. So it means, if that was a higher level of nullification of self, a higher level of recognition of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, which means in nullification of self, recognition of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's beauty, the way He created the world with such beauty. Beauty means that He created the world with such mishkal, such, you know, in a weighted way, you know, in a balanced way. And I see the beauty in the world. I see how balanced it is, why the leaves are green, why it's swaying the way it's swaying, why, you know, and understand this Bria in its completion, that somehow is less than Torah. Because if it wasn't less than Torah, then I'm going to a higher level. Should be Mitchai B'Nashra, it's a higher level of nullification. So we obviously don't understand Torah. Torah must be the way in which we mevatel ourselves to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because what are we doing when we're learning Torah? We're mevatel adas. We're nullifying our thinking to his thinking. When I understand a Tosfos, right? Or when Tosfos understands a Gemara, whoever it is, right? And the Gemara understands a Pasuk, right? We're nullifying our will to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It means my understanding becomes his understanding. My thinking becomes his thinking. The highest level of nullification of self is in thinking. If my whole thoughts are his thoughts, that's complete nullification of self. A recognition of his beauty in the world is still partially me. There's still partially me being creative in understanding. Not that I'm not creative in understanding the Tosfos, but I'm understanding directly his will, directly his thinking. A direct understanding of itself and an allocation of my thinking to that thinking.
Is it? Can you appreciate it when you're not in learning?
It doesn't say.
When you're learning and then you stop it.
Hamafsik
milim. That's
what
you're talking about. It's not when you're appreciating.
It says hamafsik. Doesn't mean, of course, a person if he's not learning, right? We're not talking about self. We're talking conceptually, right? But the Mishnah seems to be teaching us about dargas and nullification of self. Because we could have think that we have to nullify ourselves with regard to our money. That's sufficient. With regard to our goof, our physical body, we have to nullify ourselves. So we have to be Torah. We have to work hard. With regard to even our speech, has to be words of Torah, words of wisdom, right? But our thought... Didn't say you were speaking and learning, you were thinking. When a person goes by himself, he's walking alone, right? Pashas is walking alone. But there, Vashone Umafsik, he's learning. Mishumafsik Mishnato. He's learning, he's stopping what he was learning. That means he's thinking in his learning, and then he stops that. That means he's talking about his thinking, his own personal thinking. And that stop shows non-annulification of self. Why is that mitchayev nafsho? Why is it so chom? Why, when I don't nullify myself, I become obligated? Because yourself is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He gave you that inner self. If a person is on that level, that he's walking b'derech and he's thinking, he has dveikus to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's thinking and he's learning. He's thinking out that tosis, he's thinking whatever he's thinking, he's thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's rotzen. There's a complete nullification of self. That's the highest level of nullification of self. Now if a person removes that from him, he's obligated in himself. Why? Because he's not living with the fact that all you have is his. When you don't live with that fact, all you have is his, what are you doing? You're saying, I can exist, you know, outside of you, so to speak. There's a creation which didn't come from you. That's putting you outside the realm of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That puts you outside the realm of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who gives you life? Kodesh Baruch Hu. So long as you're within his box, within his makom, with his realm, you have life. He gave you that life. When you put yourself outside, you're taking away your life. That's the concept of Nidchayev Benafsho. That doesn't mean you chayev misa chas v'shalom. It means you put yourself outside of him. You put yourself in a place where you no longer have that connection. You no longer have your chiyus from him, i.e., your life-giving force from him. That means, again, let's get an understanding. The understanding is, the more there's a nullification of self, the more there's life. The more there's chiyus. More life you have. More real life you have, more you're deserving of life, more life you're going to be given. That's what's called coming out of that. Even the level of machshava is moving yourself out from that life. Even though we're speaking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu still, we're saying Ma'na Ilan Zeh, but klape that dalga, klape with regards to that level that we reached of dveikus, of complete understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, that level of reaching that and then leaving that, that's mitchayev benafsho. Because you went to a lower level. You went to a level in which you don't have that level of kirva, of unity with your Creator, of nullification with your Creator. You understand? So it's a very, that's basically, the Mishnah is basically saying the same thing. Right? We're just giving different levels. Now let's see Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's explain this. The name for the world is Olam. The name, the world is Olam, it means hidden, yeah, Ne'elam. If you want to find your Creator in the world, you can find Him. But He's hidden there. Hidden means He's there, but you have to unravel Him, you have to unfold Him. If you're looking for your Creator in the Torah, He's revealed there. The Gemara says, "Ein laKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo." Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have in the whole world He created. He's not around. He's not here. He's not in this whole world that He created, except for. Now it doesn't mean He's not in the world. Of course, if He wasn't in the world, there wouldn't be a world. In the world, He's behela ela arba amos shel halacha. The Gemara says better. The Gemara says, it says that. I've forgotten the Lashon of the Gemara, but I think the Lashon is something like when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we only have HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only in this world in the Av Amos of Halacha, i.e. in the four Amos of Torah. That means where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Just in the Beis Hamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was begalui, was revealed in the Beis Hamikdash. The only place HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed is in the Torah. You can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. You can look for Him. You can see Him, you'll find Him, but He's hidden. To find something hidden takes a lot of effort, and you might not succeed in finding. You have to be pretty, you have to look. You have to look in a proper way. But in the Torah, He's revealed. Here He's revealed. And He's revealed in all His essence. He's revealed completely. Shechina, the divine presence, is in the Torah. So if a person is really looking for himself, look into the Torah. No one says you have to keep the Torah. No one says you have to do all this stuff. But if you learn it, I'm pretty certain you'll do it. There's many Jews, you know, around who've learned this, who are very clever people. And still do it. And we've been doing it for thousands of years. And we're still around. And other nations have been and been lost. And we're still around. We've always been a small people. We've always been persecuted or whatever. The reason's not that now. But we've always been around. And we've always been important throughout history. Today it's obvious. I mean, like, you know, half the newspapers speak about Israel or the Jewish people or Nobel Prizes or, you know, like, half of the financial world is Jews. Half of the, you know, yeah, I mean, I don't have to speak. Anyway, these are obvious things. And we're point, I don't know what percentage of the population, 0.00 something percentage?
0.1%,
right?
It shrunk
even more, less than that.
Oh, no, it used to be
0.02. 0.02, okay, so 0.02 or 0.01. And the latest statistics that I heard about Nobel Prizes, I think we have 31% of the Nobel Prizes. So for 0.01 or 2% of the population to have 31% of the Nobel Prizes is pretty impressive.
I think Israel has more than, Israel itself has like more than any other country, and Jews have more than...
What, Nobel Prizes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
Jews have the highest percentage per capita out of anyone, like, astronomically, like, you get the next small country of a similar size, you have more than 10 times the next highest one.
Yeah, but look at the population. I mean, look at our population. It's a very small population. I mean, we're insignificant. I mean, if you looked for Israel on the map, right? I mean, you have to look for it. I mean, if it's a big atlas, there's not even room to put the name there. And yet, the effect we have on the world is unbelievable. And why do you think that is? Because we're clever? We were born with clever genes? No. There's something ruhani here, there's something spiritual here. We have kelim to understand the depths of the world because we have kelim to understand the depths of Torah. Torah is deep and you have to have the ability to understand the Torah. Because we are the people who are revealing that Torah to the world. So unfortunately, people who don't know Torah, so they reveal in the world, the helem in the world. They're Osek and the Helem, they're Osek and the hidden of Kodesh Baruch in the world. Kodesh Baruch is also there. You know? And sometimes you can miss him. Sometimes you can believe the world is without him. Because the world can give you that mistake. You can make that mistake if you look from there. In Torah, you can't make that mistake. If you put your head in Torah, you will not make that mistake. Because he's here by Golui, if you understand it properly. Okay, so let's see Rabbeinu Yonah now. So it says, "Reyeze ish bar tuta omer tein lo mishalom. Zeh medaber bein le'inyan gufo, whether it's his body, shaladam, of a person, bein le'inyan mamono, whether it's his money. V'loma, and to tell us, shelo yimne adam et atzmo, a person should prevent himself, lo et mamono, not his money, mechefte shomayim, from doing the things for Hashem, for doing that which is needed for Shemayim, for heaven, i.e. for doing God's will. V'zeo sh'ama, and this is what it says, sh'atav sh'ocham sh'olam, that's what it means, because you and that which you own is his. Sh'enach noten mishulcha, you're not giving of your own, v'lo migufecha, not of your body, v'lo mamonecha, not your money, ela mishulam malkum baruch hu, you're giving him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hamalkum baruch hu, sh'akol sh'olam. Why we use the name Makom? Because he is Mekomo Shel Olam. You're contained within him. That's what it means. He is the place of the world. Right? It's Meduik to use that Loshon, that name of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki Mamon HaAdam, money of a person, Pikadon Hu B'yado. It's entrusted to you. Mishal HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ela Sheyesh Yitaron Bo. There's something good in it. Al Shapiton on other things which are entrusted to you. If a friend gave you an entrusted you some money, you can't use that. Whereas if a Kodesh Baruch Hu entrusted you money, Shiyachole Kachet Mimenu, Dei Tzor Kav, you can take from it that which you need. Vasha Yitnehu Vashay Ratzon HaMafkid. And the rest, you give it, according to the Ratzon of the Mafkid. So it means you can use what you need. And then, you give the rest up for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? Melech Malchei HaMelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Hashem, Asher Tzivahu, commanded us, V'yesh Lismoach Harbe, you should be very happy about this. Masheh Yechol Le'enot Min HaPikadon, because you can benefit from this entrustment that he gave to you. Dai Tzorchav, that which you need. And you'll do the rotzon of the owner from the rest. Kodesh Baruch Hu. Moshal Melech, it's a parable of a king, Shinatan Avado, to gave his servant, Elef Zuzi, $1,000 then, right? Vamalo, Tulata Mer, you take $100, right? Latzucha, for yourself. V'tein Teishim Yot, Tisha Bnei Adam, give the rest, 9, to other people. Interesting, he's using 10th. It's as if Maisa you have for yourself, right? Normally we have Maisa for other people, right? 10th for other people. V'alo samechu. He's going to be very happy. V'ken David, hu omer. David says, ki mimcha hakol, from you is everything, miyadecha nitanu lach, he gave it to us. V'mokom ache, kativ, and in a different place it says, sham, Miyadecha hi, from you it is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, ulecha hakol, and everything belongs to you. V'hu ne'ma le'inyan haguf, that's in regards to the guf, al she'echinu livnot beis hamikdash, because it's prepared to build a beis kodesh, v'zehu shekatuv, miyadecha netanu lach, your hand was given to us. That's speaking about the mammon, money. Kamoshama Barosha Posu ki neetza koach litnadev kazot. Right? Kimimcha kom yadecha nitanu lach. Basically, everything's from you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, let's try and understand a little bit what he's saying. It seems simple. It seems we've already said this. But Rabbeinu Yonah, as we know, says more than we think he says. So now, he came to tell us, right? A marshal of a pikadon. It's an entrustee. That means our life and our money is entrusted to us. Our neshama is that part of us which is entrusted to us. How do we say every morning? We say in our tefillah every morning when we get up. One of the first tefillahs we say, right? How do we say? Elokai, my God, right? Neshamish netatabi, that you gave to me, tehora. Atabarata, you created it. Atayatzata, you formed it. Atanafachtabi, you blew it in me. Atamashamra bikiwi, you got it in me. Atatid litnaimeni, you in the future are going to take it from me. Ulavzira bi latid lavon, give it back to me in the future, in the world to come. Kol zman shenashama bikiwi, all the time that my neshama is inside me, moderni lefanecha, I thank you. Hashem Elokai, Elokai Avotai, God, my God, God of my fathers, Ribon Kol HaMaasim, the master of all actions, Adon Kol HaNeshamot, the master of all the souls, Baruch Ata Hashem, HaMachzir Neshamot, who returns souls, Lifgarim Meitim, to dead bodies. What are we saying here? Hakol Mimcha. This is this Mishnah. We say every day this Mishnah. Our neshama is a pikadon. It's not ours, it's His. He's gave it to us, He's going to take it away from us, He formed it, He gave it to us. If a person lives with this concept of a pikadon, you do your tzrachim, you do those little things you need to do, the money you need. Right? For your sorfi aguf, right? For the needs of your physical body, right? But the neshama is His. He gave it to you to use well. Use it well.
How do you define pikadon?
Pikadon is an entrustment. I give you an entrustment to look after. If it's mine, you can't use it. You have to. That means really an entrustment you can't use. Here he's saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you the permission to use it for your own needs. But not only for your needs. You hear what he's saying? That's a big kiddush here. You can actually use it for your own needs. What's your own needs? Who's your own needs? What's your own needs different from Kodesh Baruch Hu? What do you mean your own needs? It means tzorchei aguf. It means what your physical body needs. You need to eat, you need to sleep. Right? You need to eat a Ben and Jerry's, right? Not just a piece of cardboard, right? You need to eat. Your neshama doesn't need a Ben and Jerry's, does it? Maybe, you don't know, right? If you make a good bracha, maybe, yeah. If your bracha's better, the Ben and Jerry's become more geschmack, right? It's a better Ben and Jerry's, right? So, that's basically it. We're living with this concept that we have a pikadon. Our neshama is a pikadon, and He's allowing us to have benefit. But make sure that 9 out of 10 of the benefits you have, it's benefiting your Creator who gave you that pikadon.
9 out of 10.
I don't know, it's interesting. I don't know why He uses 9 out of 10. I mean, He seems to be saying that, you know, 10% you can actually use for your own benefits. I mean, I don't know if He's giving a specific ratio, but 9 you give to other people. It means you give to other people in your... Look, there is a concept...
It's like
Sinatra. Yeah, no, there is a concept. There's a concept of... No, it's not... There's a concept of 10. 10 is like the 10 spheres, right? The 10 represents completion. Mm-hmm. Means 9 out of 10 means one part can be to you. What one part? Can, I don't know which one part can be to you. It means maybe even that ninth part you're supposed to give eventually to him. But it's a functional living with that one part to you. I don't know. I don't,
1/10 to you.
1/10 to you, 90 other people. 90 other people, it says the Rabbeinu Yonah.
It's interesting. You see, by Meiser,
it's the opposite.
It's opposite. You keep 9/10.
Yeah, but it's not really you keep. 1/10 you give to another person. The other 9/10 that you have,
it's
for yourself. But it shouldn't be for your own like physical benefits. It should be like, you know, you're doing it for, you know, like you're giving it tzedakah 1/10, but you're using it for things which are beneficial. You know, if you buy a house for your wife, right? You can't buy that with Meiser guilt, right? You can, but you're buying it for your wife. You're buying it for your children to live in. You're buying a furniture for your wife, for your children, right? You don't care what color it is, right? She might spend like hours looking for a color that matches the shades or the opposite, right? No, as far as you're concerned, it covers there, and you can sit on this thing, it's fine.
So that wouldn't be called giving to self.
No, that's not giving to self, no. It's you're using it in a way in which a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to use it. That's not, but, so I don't know, like, you're allowed to use 1/10 of it in a way that's not giving to Kodesh Baruch Hu? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you mean like you're allowed to like just have a Ben and Jerry's for the sake of it? Right? I don't know. Maybe there's a leniency. Maybe like a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, listen, you know, I know you're a human being. I know you have a goof. Feed it.
Is that what we call using for your need?
Yeah, use it for your needs. Look, you have physical needs. There's a recognition of that. So 1/10 of that can be used for those physical needs. You're not a malach. You have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to think. There's certain things you have to do. You like Ben and Jerry's, you like pizza, you like a beer. You know? Whatever it is. Not that, the beer, right? Ben and Jerry's, you know, if it had a good hechsher, maybe. But okay. You understand? I don't know. It doesn't make, you know, I would have thought that ultimately everything has to be a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Maybe this is just a start. You have to, you're allowed that amount. You're allowed that amount of leeway to start off with. And then, I don't know. I don't know why the 9/10, why it brings this marshal of 9/10. Maybe it's not Meduik marshal. I don't know. Now let's see the next bit.
Giving itself also is ultimately to give the Hashem, meaning, why are you eating? So you can serve him.
Giving to self. But then I could do in that way I could do all to self. If I'm sleeping in order to learn, that means even my sleeping is giving to Kodesh Baruch Hu. If I'm sleeping so I'm on a higher level in my thought process, I can think better. That's giving to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not giving to me. So what does it mean giving to me? What it means the effort is that actually, I mean, it's a tova. Kira Ben Yonah is a tova. Kodesh Baruch Hu is actually doing you a tova. He says you can actually take part for yourself. If you know, that means, I don't know, that doesn't make sense to me in a certain way. I mean, when I say it doesn't make sense, well, you know, like, let's be honest. I'm sure there's more than 1/10 that I give to myself. But in terms of thinking, it doesn't make sense. Why would we actually allow that section to be given over just to us? It's like a leeway. I have a feeling it's just like a leeway. You know, you're a human being, you know, you're a human being. You need a leeway. You need, you know, to, I'm giving you maestros. That goof gets maestros. Because maybe Kodesh Baruch Hu is a realization that because we're physical, we can't live completely 100%, at least not start way that way, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we're allowed. You know, give your Yetzirah or something. Not a Averus, Chas V'Shalom. You give him a pizza here and there. You give him, you know, you give him something. You keep him happy. It's important to keep him happy. He feels he's getting, because he might just, you know, if he doesn't get what he needs, he might lafoch et kol ha'kara. You need to realize that you are physical. You need to realize that you have physical needs. You're not a malach. Maybe that's what he's saying. That's what he's telling us. And therefore you need to feed those physical needs. But only a little bit. 1/9, 1/10, 1/10. No more than 1/10. I don't know, maybe it's not meduik, maybe it's just a dogma. You know, it's just an example Rabbeinu Yonah's giving. It's not really... A part of it can go through the physical needs. One tenth is like, you know, just an example of that. Not that that's literally the ratio. That's probably more meduik. But, you know, realize that wherever you are in your avoda, you have to live with who you really are. That means, if you need that Ben and Jerry's, whatever that Ben and Jerry's is, that schnitzel, you need it, right? Give it to yourself. Sometimes you have to give it to yourself, because that's also part of your avodah. You have to realize that you need that. That's where you're living. You need to have that part of physical pleasure, kosher physical pleasure, but you need to have it. So allow yourself, because you are a physical goof, and your goof desires certain things. You have to give it to him. No, there's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says, if Gora didn't say it, we wouldn't understand it. Gemara says, if a person wants to eat milk and meat, what should he eat? So he should eat the udder of a cow, khal. That's the taste of milk and meat. If a person wants to eat bacon, like pork, what should he eat? A certain fish that has a taste of pork. And it says, even if a person wants to have, okay, it's not for us, a taste of ish, so there's yafatah. There's, you know, the case of when you capture a woman who's a married woman, and, you know, in war. So, what do you need a Gemara to tell me, like I really need a good milk and meat burger, like I'm really into it, you know, like, if you've been brought up your whole life not to eat milk and meat, you probably don't even have desire, you know. No one in the free world, you don't see any burger bars, you know, tofu cheeseburgers, right? Maybe tofu's no good, I don't know, right? But yeah, I'm sure they could work out one that you can have. You don't find that. Right? You don't find people have a big desire for a cheeseburger, right? Even the most, you know, you get these boys, you know, some of these guys who, you know, look for something nice to eat. No one's really into a cheeseburger. So why do I need a Gemara to tell me that? How to find a cheeseburger, right? That's what I need a Gemara for? What did the Gemara? What did the Gemara to teach me that? That's not the fault. The fault isn't the Gemara's telling you, go get a cheeseburger. If you really have a taiva for a cheeseburger. No. The Gemara's coming to tell you that everything in the Torah you can find a place which is muta. It means a person has desires, and the Torah is recognizes those desires. And since a person has desires, even for maybe a cheeseburger, even an eshesish, chas v'shalom, right? He has a desire. There's ways that it's mutter. Not the go get it, but dibra Torah connected to Yetzirah. If it's mutter, there's a way you can get it. It's mutter, the Yetzirah doesn't have such a desire for it. The Torah has to somehow allow for every possible desire that a person has, right? Why? Because there's a recognition that you're a physical person. There's a recognition that you have needs. So those needs, you don't have complete shlita on all those needs. You don't have complete control. So there must be a way to get it. And if there's a way to get it, you find it's called pat basalo. Since there is a way of getting it, you won't have such a desire to get it. It'll be easier for you to control that desire. Yeah? You with me? So maybe that's what Kilu, that's the Torah saying, you know, I'm giving you as a pikodon, your neshama. You can use it. One tenth can be used for yourself. It's pat basalo. Once you have that pat basalo, once you have the ability to get even those physical things for the sake of the physical, right? So long as it's kosher, you might not want it so much. You might want to give also that tenth to Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. But there's a recognition that you're a physical human being. You might need it. Yeah.
By the soul also.
Yeah. to give to the goof, not the soul. Soul doesn't do anything physical, but it gives life to the goof, to the physical body. So that means the body needs. It needs its needs. It's a physical human being. You know, you have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to do all those things, right? And part of us doesn't do those things only for the sake of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not on that level. There's a tenth of us that doesn't do that. Or whatever fraction, doesn't matter which fraction, but there's a fraction of us, and there has to be a recognition that we live there, and we are a human being. And okay, a recognition of where we're holding and where we want to hold. But there has to be a recognition of where you're holding now. and to not try and live in a different place. Because, like, you know, if a person tries to live in a place that he isn't, that will lash back. You know, for example, if you take a tightrope walker, you put a tightrope walker, and you put him on a tightrope from here across, you know, so he's a good tightrope walker, he can do it. You take a guy who's not a tightrope walker, and you put him on a small place, like to walk 1 meter, he'll probably be able to do 1 meter, or half a meter, or one step, right, and walk back. Yeah, give him a hand, right, you hold the hand, you help him. If you tell him to walk 2 steps, or 1 step without a hand, and it's like a little high up, well, no way he's going to do that, right? If he does that, how's he going to feel? Nervous, insecure. He's not going to like what he's doing. He's got, as soon as he gets a chance, he's going to rush off that tightrope and walk onto safe ground. If a person lives with the level of his emunah, he'll be comfortable. If he has the emunah of a tightrope walker, so he has that emunah. He'll be able to walk a long tightrope. But if he doesn't have that level and he lives on that level, it'll cause him to jump off that tightrope. To get back to... he won't want to walk that tightrope. You have to live where you are. And there has to be a recognition of where you are.
Do you have a muscle of like a real-life example of that concept? I understand it by tightrope. What do you mean? Like someone who...
Yeah, an example. Certain people, when they come to yeshiva, they become too frum. It's bad. The yeshiva doesn't like people, you know, growing pears and having hats or anything like that. First of all, it's chitzonius. There's nothing showing any change, inner change. And the outside change will go away very quickly. But, you know, you shouldn't be living with things that, you know, like, oh, I'm going to learn every moment of the day. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to have cake break. I'm not going to do anything, right? No. In the end, it's an overburn. You start hating it. You start not liking to learn. Because you're not living in a place that you really are. You have to live in a place that you really are. If you like cake, you should go get it. If you like going get a pizza, you should go get it. You have to live. So long as they're not also, you have to live where you are. You understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, it's going to be a lashback. You're going to jump off that tightrope. You're going to say, oh, forget it, I'm not going to learn so hard anymore. And it happens. Boys come sometimes, and they push themselves, and they learn for 12 hours a day, and then all of a sudden, you see, Rabbi, they start having issues, they start having things, right? It's too hard for them. Really, they overdid it. You have to take it step by step, normal growth. You understand? To live where you are. So maybe that's also what's been hinting to us here. Okay, now let's see the next bit. Rabbi Yaakov Amen. Hamahalach b'derech v'shone u'mafsik b'mishnato. He goes in the way and he stops learning and he says, Man na'e ilanzi. How beautiful this tree. Ki ba'od sha'adam shone. Since a person is still learning, ein lo l'hasik l'asiach sicha t'chulin. He shouldn't mention sicha t'chulin. He shouldn't just say stam words. Of not Torah words. Ki tzarech la'amod b'yira u'ba'ema. He should stand with fear, and I don't know if two forms of fear. Lifnei ha'Torah, in front of the Torah. Ki inyan sham kol talmid sheshone, any talmid who learns, ve'en siftotav, not fotmo, techavena, will be burned. In other words, any talmid who's learning and there's not in the process of him learning a clear recognition that what he's learning is Teres Hashem, i.e. and therefore an appropriate fear. When I say fear, a year is an awe. There's a depth here. This is Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to me. Machashu mishtamesh b'kitra shel Torah. He's using the crown of the Torah. Shu kitra shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why Keter, the crown of Torah, the crown of Kodesh Baruch Hu? Keter always represents the inner rotzen, the inner will. You're learning the inner will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tzar shelo yidaber sichat b'teila. How can you speak sichat b'teila? How can you speak like stam talking? Im kal rosho lafsik b'mishnato. If he has kalos rosh, he has a light head to stop his learning. Harizem et chayv et nafsho v'adin noten. And that makes sense. Why did noten? Because if a person can talk divrei chulin while he's learning, Torah is divrei chulin for him. Torah isn't Ratzon Hashem. Torah is a magazine. Torah is just, let's have fun, learn a bit of Torah, let's have fun, chat. Now, I'm not saying about us, right? Obviously, you know, we have needs where we can't, for us, focus is very hard. But if we can focus, if we can learn, there should be a focus on learning. Now, you have to be normal. Again, right? We're not a tightrope walker. We aren't tightrope walkers. We 1 meter, 2 meters, with someone giving us a hand, we're okay. But conceptually, that's the concept. Conceptually, right? If a tightrope walker in the middle of doing his tightrope walking, he sees a friend down on the road or on the side, he says, "Oh, hi, John," he'll fall. You need concentration. You need to be fixated. You have to be directed in life. Now, we're not so directed, but whenever we are that level of directed, we understand that in our davening at least, right? You know, no one's going to middle of davening and say, "Oh, hi, to a friend in the middle of davening," right? Because your mind's talking to your creator. It's awesome to do that as well. But that's more understanding. Torah has the same concept. There's a certain contemplation, certain depth that a person has, and recognition of his creator when he's learning, that you're learning Torah Hashem. Torah Hashem is not talking. How can you do at the same time? It's a zilzun in the Torah. Samit chai benafsha. You're putting yourself outside again. You understand? That's basically it. Okay?